a very, very significant and very striking headline on the front page of the Business Post today. Irish health authorities predict 1.9 million people will fall in with coronavirus. The author of that piece is the paper's health editor and deputy editor, Susan Mitchell. She's with us on the line now. Susan, thanks very much for taking your call this lunchtime. Can you explain exactly how the state has arrived at the figure of potentially 1.9 million people becoming infected and sick with coronavirus?
Sure. So this is computational modelling that has been carried out by the National Public Health Emergency Team that is almost complete and isn't strikingly different to the figures that were produced by England's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Chris Whitty, during the week. And what they have come up with are three potential scenarios for Ireland. The one in the middle, which they think is the one that is most likely, is where we will see 40% of the population infected with this new coronavirus or having COVID-19, which is the disease. Now, it's important to say that about 80% of people within that category would have mild symptoms, but the real concern here is that there will be huge pressure on intensive care units. We're already seeing in Italy that there is huge pressure in areas like Lombardy. Today, we're hearing that some patients are having to be treated in corridors because they can't access ICU beds. And doctors from Italy actually wrote to their international counterparts earlier this week, urging the European Society for Intensive Care to warn intensivists throughout Europe that about 10% of their patients required intensive care treatment. So that's the big concern here, and it's a concern for every health service because no health service will be able to cope with such dramatic numbers in the way that they might ordinarily like to treat these patients.
Sure. So if there's an estimate of 1.9 million people who could fall ill with this or could be sick, as you mentioned there, 80% of people, you know, their symptoms would be quite mild. In the vast majority of those cases, they'll be able to be to wait it out at home. But that still does mean that you could have around 400,000 people requiring hospital treatment over the forthcoming period. And if 10% of the patients require treatment in intensive care, then that would suggest that you could have 190,000 people who might require treatment in intensive care over the coming months. How many ICU beds do you happen to know do we have, or roughly speaking, what is the capacity of ICUs?
We have, approximately just over 400, Gavin. Now, the HSE is opening additional intensive care beds. Paul Reid, the HSE chief executive, announced that earlier this week. But we have a shortage of intensive care beds. We have far fewer than our European counterparts. Ireland has about 5.2 intensive care beds per 100,000 population, while the European average is 11.5. But even if we had the European average, I think very many countries will struggle with intensive care beds as this escalates.
It's very, very striking numbers. So if the HSE has already said then that, as you mentioned, that it wants to bring some other ICU beds sort of back into the system, but you're still talking about, you know, a massive, massive oversubscription. And I suppose that the nature and the profile of this is that this isn't going to be potentially 190,000 people by those sums, coming in at a sort of an even rate, that there's going to be some pretty dramatic spikes in the forthcoming 4 to 6 weeks, for example, when this thing reaches its peak.
That's right. So one of the concerns is that they expect a surge. And again, this was explained in detail by England's chief medical officer earlier this week, wherein you'd see about 50% of patients presenting in a 3-week period. So that is the real difficulty that health service officials are grappling with. However, you know, they've been at pains, and their communications around this has been really strong, I think. But they've been at pains to say to members of the public that there is a lot we can do to try to limit the spread of this. So in a best-case scenario that they have outlined, that a possible 30% of the population might be infected with this, and those numbers, obviously, because we're dealing in millions with the population that we have, would then fall. In a worst-case scenario, they fear that up to 50% could be infected. And, you know, in order to try to ensure that figure is closer to 30%, people can follow the strong public health advice that has been put out there by our Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan, and the HSE's Chief Medical Officer, in terms of like social distancing, washing hands, etc. So all of those measures are of critical importance.
I see it noted that the age profile of the Italian population is quite a bit older than Ireland, so that they would have a greater vulnerability, because the ageing population means that more people who fall ill are going to fall quite significantly ill. I suppose that there is some good news and bad news that can be derived from that. Obviously, the part of the reason why Italy has become the cradle of this for the rest of Europe is because Italy was by and large unable to trace the origin of some of its earlier cases, so they weren't able to enforce certain quarantines, or some people who ended up being the patient zero in their local areas weren't able to quarantine because the state simply didn't know who they were, had they contracted it on one hand. On the other hand, though, they have taken the fairly dramatic measures, like we've seen in the last 18 hours or so, where they've quarantined four entire regions of Italy. So I suppose the question is, how much of a comparison can we draw between the Italian stats and how our own might look?
Well, that's true, because as you rightly say, I pointed that out, or I wrote that in the article, that the Italian population is older than our population, so that could impact on the need for intensive care beds, because as we know, people who are older tend to get sicker from this disease. It doesn't seem to have hugely negative impact on younger cohorts of the population, but unfortunately it also, causes a lot of problems for people who are immunosuppressed and might have other underlying conditions. Italy has obviously closed off part of the Lombardy region, but I think it's also interesting just to see what has played out in China, where the Chinese really introduced hugely stringent and strict measures to try to contain the spread of this virus. And the figures from China suggest at this point that they have been successful. The numbers now that are increased, that the WHO, or the World Health Organization, effectively shows the numbers of cases that each country, additional cases each country gets in the last 24 hours. Mm. The numbers from China are now in the order of 140, 150 per day. So they've dramatically reduced from the 3,000 additional cases a day they were getting in February. So the Chinese put cities on lockdown. There were forced quarantines. So there is a suggestion out there, from some infectious disease experts, that if countries are willing to take these measures, then perhaps we might be able to contain the spread of it. But obviously they are very, very difficult things to do, and possibly more easily done in the likes of China, which is obviously a very different political regime to ours.
Yeah, even if you park that whole question about whether it would be appropriate or right for a European government to have that sort of powers in the first place, are we anywhere close to the point where those sorts of measures will be justified? I mean, I know that nobody accepts that 19 is going to be the sum total of all the cases, and if we're talking, where the government's own projection is that up to 2 million people or potentially more could get this. But it's still early days, and I suppose the question is whether it would be appropriate this early in the cycle to introduce precautions as stringent as what they have in other countries.
Yeah, I think we saw during the week, for example, a lot of people questioning why schools hadn't been closed across the country. And at the moment, those measures really don't appear to be necessary, according to people who are a lot more expert than I am, obviously, because we don't know whether children, for example, get the disease in any big numbers, or whether they're significant vectors, or whether they pass the disease on to others. So there's no point in closing schools until we have those facts. And as you rightly say, at the moment, the vast majority of our cases, I think it's just one case that has been a case of community transmission.
Yeah.
All of the other cases that we have, the health service has been able to identify where those individuals or where those patients were infected with the virus, and they were imported cases, many of them coming from northern Italy. So I think that, and I don't envy public health officials having to grapple with this, but they have to decide when it's appropriate to step up measures. And at the moment, given that we only have one case, to my knowledge anyway, of community transmission, I think they have to time that accordingly.
I appreciate that I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but one of the explanations that we get from the likes of Simon Harris when we're talking about the idea of cancelling flights, and he said that simply wouldn't be appropriate, that obviously you can't test people who are taking flights to see whether they are healthy or whether they're carrying it at the time anyway. But he says that restricting travel from affected areas like the parts of northern Italy, which has yielded a lot of tourists to Dublin this weekend alone for rugby anyway, that it wouldn't be appropriate. In all the people that you've spoken to, and you've written extensively, not only Guardian on page one, but in a giant spread inside the paper as well for this weekend. Have you been able to establish why they believe that that wouldn't be appropriate, or how it wouldn't be helpful?
So what they have said is that they're following the advice from the European Centre for Disease Control and Health Protection. And other countries, we're not the only country that hasn't announced a travel ban or asked travellers to self-isolate on returning from jurisdictions like Northern Italy with a large volume of cases. That said, other countries have done this. So, for example, both Britain and the United States has established a type of risk stratification criteria for people returning home and back home from overseas, from Italy or from, say, parts of Korea, from China, from Iran, where there's a high volume of cases. And they've asked people to self-isolate during, you know, over a period of 14 days, even if they aren't or aren't showing symptoms. We haven't gone that far yet. There has been some criticism of the fact that we haven't. But I think, you know, to be fair to our public health officials, they are following European advice on this.
Susan, thanks very much for your time this afternoon. We know you're very busy with all of this, but we'll let you go. Thank you very much for speaking to us on the record this lunchtime. Susan Mitchell, who is the health editor and deputy editor with the Business Post.